on the particular judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. The following is from French Jesuit Louis Dupont. The time appointed for this particular judgment is the precise moment of death. For although God, by a particular arrangement of his justice, might have been willing to condemn some sinners before their death in order to keep men in fear by an exemplary punishment, nevertheless it is his will to judge in an invisible manner when the soul leaves the body. And at this very moment all will be tried, settled, and finished. The judge hears the accusers, pronounces the sentence, and puts it into execution without delay. It is then this dreadful moment I ought to have ever before my eyes, since it will be the beginning of either my happiness or of my eternal condemnation. O fatal moment which leads to eternity! The soul which is summoned to appear will at this moment be alone, deprived of its body, separated from all visible creatures, accompanied only by its deeds. For before its separation from the body, parents, relations, friends, priests may be found around the bed. There is not a single soul can follow it, not one who can protect it in the other world. The soul of a king is no more value than that of a peasant. The soul of a rich man may be poorer than that of the meanest beggar. The most clever may be outrivaled by the most ignorant. Dignities and riches are only fleeting advantages, and talents are of no consideration in that other life where good works are only rewarded. Meditate, my brethren, on this last moment, and employ well every moment of your life, for on this last one depends a life which will never end. The following is from French priest Père Croisset. Conceive, if it is possible, what must be the horrible dread of a soul which feels that it hangs to its body, as it were, by a thread, and that in 2 or 3 minutes it will have to appear before the awful tribunal of God. At that time, its conscience will be its worst enemy. It is the conscience which will, even before the last sigh, make manifest every thought and word, and, so to speak, will foreshadow the judgment and sentence. It feels that time will soon be no more, and it begins to see the horizon of an awful eternity. The uncertainty of its fate, the fear of eternal punishment, the reasons why it should fear it, all reduce the soul to a state which may be called an anticipated hell. This poor soul on the point of appearing before God, that supreme judge whom it well knows it has so often insulted, finds itself laden with debts, and there is now no time to pay them, no means of canceling them. It would certainly have been able to find enough in the merits of the precious blood to satisfy the divine justice, but is it in a state to say that it is worthy of the promises of Christ? Troubled and frightened as it is, has it the presence of mind and tranquility sufficient for that? But this person expires, and at the very moment the trial has commenced, the judgment is pronounced, the sentence is executed. At that very moment that person's soul enters into an awful eternity. At that instant, if it be damned, it feels the extent of the torments it will ever have to suffer. No regard will be paid to age, employments, or quality. Of all the titles, the only one which will remain, the only one which will be taken into consideration after death, is that of Christian, and on that title we shall all be judged. The promises made in baptism, the strict obligations which have been contracted, the precepts of the Christian law, and the maxims of the Church will be examined into at this judgment. If this soul should be in a state of mortal sin, it is at that moment condemned to everlasting flames. Howsoever hard may be this judgment, howsoever frightful may be this sentence, the soul itself feels the justice of its sentence. There, excuses are useless. No need of alleging weakness, surprise, bad example, or violence of temptation. It sees, it feels all its error, all those vain pretexts, all those frivolous reasons which serve during life as excuses or palliations. These will then serve to increase our regret, and will enkindle within us naught but anger and indignation. All is lost. Time, all means of salvation, the infinite price of the blood and death of the Redeemer, all is lost for me, and all is lost forever, since I lose God Himself.